The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We're going to talk, though, first about something very serious, which is antisocial behaviour on public transport. So this is something we've often talked about on this show. And the latest iteration, the latest manifestation of it is a story wherein the Echo in Cork were provided with details of complaints on Irish Rail services, primarily between Dublin and Cork, and suggestions from some of the trade unions that it means that some of those workers, the Irish Rail staff on those services, are afraid to go to work. Barry Kenny is with me, a corporate communications manager with Irish Rail. Barry, it's a fairly serious situation, isn't it, if staff are afraid of work?
Well, obviously, if you are working on a train, I would say two things are true at the same time. One is that most people travel on journeys without experiencing incidents. But when there is any regularity of incident at all, the people who are working will be most exposed to them. And it's not just, I suppose, the incidents that ultimately become serious. It can be what are lower level disruption and the concern they may become serious. So that's why we engage with our staff in terms of understanding the issues that are there, in terms of working with the Gardaí and our own security resources to putting the measures both to prevent but also to ensure that there's a swift response if there are any issues as well. Because it's a societal issue. We're not immune, but I suppose what happens when it happens on public transport is it's in a confined space and you feel it more, as it were.
Well, and what's the feedback from that engagement with staff? You know, beyond what we hear about in terms of official complaints made, or maybe official complaints made to on Garda Síochána as well, in terms of the feedback ye get when you have those conversations, what do they say? What are the concerns?
Well, I suppose it will be things that they see that might recur. And I know trade unions reference this, that and it probably happened first during COVID when there was an awful lot of patrols on the roads, that some people started to use trains to move drugs, as an example. But we've worked with the Gardaí and we've actually had dog units on board as well, and feel that we've addressed that. Nothing is ever resolved, but certainly the Gardaí have been able to apprehend people involved in that. If we've got, repeat offenders, obviously they will highlight that. And as I say, particularly the area. So one of the things that we've done with our staff and with Gardaí as well is we've established rapid response hubs along the intercity line. So for Cork, Dublin, there are a number of Garda stations along that route that our staff have direct contact points into. So if an issue occurs on a train, they're able to get to a station directly, and the response, that Gardaí, if they're obviously in a position to, are waiting at the station to be able to resolve something before it escalates.
What are, because you and your colleagues as well would be conscious, I'm sure, of the approach taken in other countries. We're not the only country in the world where there's antisocial behaviour on public transport. Is there a common consensus as to how it's dealt with? Is there marked differences between different jurisdictions?
It depends. I mean, look, obviously a lot of people talk about transport police, because in particular, I suppose Britain has the British Transport Police, where there are geographically based police forces. We obviously have the benefit of a national force, and we have at national and local level very good relationships there. Now, the National Transport Authority, and it's part of the programme for government, are establishing the Transport Security Force as one of those initiatives to help with that. And it'd be important, we feel, that while that, I suppose, is a further measure to assist, that we can still maintain that relationship with Gardaí and the national presence that Gardaí have to be able to respond and support to issues. And again, prevent, because you take the Houston routes as an example. We have about 100 joint patrols, proactive patrols, with Gardaí per annum on the Houston commuter routes alone. That's mirrored elsewhere. Right now, you take the weekend that we've just had between events, between the beach days that were happening and the huge crowds. We were working hand in hand with Gardaí in terms of managing those crowds in Letterborough Beach, as an example, and coordinating in terms of the response when people were starting to leave, could we get services on? So it's not just about, I suppose, the work with Gardaí. It's not just about addressing antisocial behaviour. It's also about a joint approach to events, to large crowds, and to make the journey as seamless as possible.
The story in the Echo that precipitated this conversation was, as I said, about that Dublin-Cork Irish Rail service, but it's an issue that affects all forms of public transport. And Suzanne Armstrong is with me, who's a Dublin bus driver. Suzanne, you're welcome to the show, and it's good to talk to you. Can you give our listeners who are not from Dublin, not living in Dublin, and are not used to being on Dublin bus, a sense of some of the things you guys have to deal with?
Hey, Ciarán. Yeah, so look, there's loads of things that we can deal with. And I want to say, obviously, this isn't every journey, but like, it does happen, and it happens very frequently. like SIP2 put out a survey and 85% of their members came back and said antisocial behaviour occurred. I think it's heard of them said it was really serious. So the kind of stuff that we would see is there'd be stone thrown, you'd have windows smashed. If that happens, the bus gets pulled out of service, right? So then you've passengers are waiting on a bus, they're not getting home, you've people to get to appointments, they can't get there. They could be pulled out of an area for the night. Nobody's getting anywhere then. When a bus does come along, you'll have new passengers getting on the bus, but they'll start abusing the driver. Because why didn't my bus turn up? Why am I late? The driver is getting all the abuse. You could have drug taken. You could have pickpockets. What else?
The
knives have been pulled. Screwdrivers have been pulled at people. Passenger fights, assaults. It can go from anywhere.
And how robust are the defences on the bus that the driver, you know, the plexiglass essentially is what I'm asking about, that the driver is sitting behind. Are you guys confident when you're on the bus that despite maybe the chaos that ensues on the other side, at least you're safe?
How long is a piece of string? No, because there have been instances, like obviously we have the door closed and the screen up.
Yeah.
But there is a gap like where the ticket machine is for people to try get in at you. And that has happened. And I've had colleagues who their hands have all been bruised actually from people trying to get in under it. There's been instances of people punching the screen and the lock will actually break and the screen will come down. So while the screen may stay up, you're not guaranteed that it will.
And much like the experience with Irish Rail, as Barry was talking about, was this something that you saw escalate during COVID and afterwards?
Yeah, from the survey that SIF2 did, that's what it showed.
And why do you think, I know this is a difficult question, but why do you think that is?
I don't know. I'm not a psychologist, but I'm not sure. I really don't know. But I know even last year, year on year, within Dublin Bus, the incidents didn't decrease.
Mm. And the stone throwing and stuff and the smashing your windows, that's happening from outside the bus, is it?
That's
on particular routes, probably going through particular areas, is it?
You would think that, and there's obviously some that it would happen more frequently than others, but it can happen anywhere and it can happen on any route. And that's the thing. Like, we obviously, you'd have certain routes in mind, but that's not the case. I've had colleagues come to me on what you would consider to be okay, and they could have eggs thrown. I actually had one guy, an egg was thrown through the window. He had his window open and it came through the window, hit him in the eye. There's loads of incidents that happen.
And what would make you feel safer? Knowing that you're never going to live in a society where there's no antisocial behaviour. You know what I mean? And somebody, if they're minded to kind of to walk up to the side of the road and chuck a stone at a bus, they're going to be able to do it. But what would make you feel safer going into work or getting behind the wheel?
Yeah, well, look, I think all our buses have at least 12 cameras at this stage, and they're high definition. So they can be pulled. So at least in certain areas, the guards are aware of who the culprits are, right? And they can work with them to an extent. But we were calling for the National Transport Advisory Council brought out legislation in 2008, but that hasn't been put in yet. And that should involve like the unions, all public private transport operators and disability groups to be involved and say what's acceptable and what's not acceptable on public transport. And then if we did get this, the one that we wanted was a national public transport police, right? But it would include public transport assistance units. And the idea behind that is anyone that needs, say, social intervention, you'd have social care people trained to come on and help them. So it could be homelessness or substance abuse, not just through the legal framework as well, but then people who are just causing problems, they need to be held accountable. And at the moment, we can't do that. They can get off the bus, get on another one. They can get on a train. They can get on a Lewis. And there's nobody to stop them. If you had a transport police, like a dedicated one, then you could have a uniform approach. So they're known no matter what operator they get on.
Yeah.
They can do something.
Andrew Quigley's with us as well, the SIP2 organiser. Andrew, is that something you would be and your members would be supportive of, dedicated transport police with a uniform approach across different forms of transport?
Hi, Kieran. Yes, that's exactly what we're looking for. And we're in negotiation at the moment with the Department of Transport and the National Transport Authority to try and get this dedicated unit set up. As my colleagues have said, there has been a sharp increase in antisocial behaviour, certainly since COVID. And I think that goes down to the COVID days where people did what they wanted. They travelled when they shouldn't have been travelling. There was no respect. And that never seemed to come back into society on a more regular basis. And whether it be the rail, Lewis, Bus Air and Services, Dublin Bus, antisocial behaviour is on the increase. It's unacceptable and needs to stop. And we hope by the setting up of this national transport security unit that there will be people who are available to respond, because let's face it, the guards can't be there all the time. Mm. We understand that. They deal with other issues. We need patrols that are out there, and the fear that, you know, if you are getting on a public transport to cause antisocial behaviour, that within a few minutes, this unit can arrive and assist. And that will make travelling for the public a more safer and more beneficial place. Yeah. Because we want transport to be used. It's there. It's a good service. And it at times, people don't want to travel. And we do have members on certain routes around the country who are in fear of going to work. They dread being given a certain route because of the incidents that are happening on those particular routes. And that's unacceptable. They go to work to do a job. It's an important service, and we believe they should be protected.
It's, you know, we're talking about all these different versions of public transport, but there are differences to it. And I guess one of the things, you know, Barry talked about, you know, that you're kind of stuck on the train if something kicks off, that, you know, while that's maybe one of the drawbacks of that service, what it does lend itself to in terms of enforcement or using a public transport police or on Garda Síochána is that the perpetrator is also stuck until you get to the next station. With Bus Éireann or with Dublin Bus, one of the shortcomings is that it's much easier to stop and get them off, which might be the temptation. It's the obvious temptation. It might be the wise thing to do. But it's harder then maybe for a transport police to be there and to apprehend. Would that be a fair point?
It would be. But again, depending on what route you're on and where you are in the country, it's the response times you're looking at. And unfortunately, because the guards are, you know, busy doing other things, maybe antisocial behaviour isn't deemed as important as another crime may be. But yeah, you're correct. If you're on a train, you're stuck on the train until you come to the next station. But we find with public transport, whether it be the Lewis, Dublin Bus, Bus Éireann, it's the next stop they're getting off. And then they wait for the next bus to come along and it starts all over again. And that's something that we need, this dedicated transport security, to be able to come to assist our members and to prevent these people from carrying on, yeah, which is with the unacceptable behaviour.
So, Suzanne, what's the advice or the training? What does it suggest you do if somebody starts kicking off, as it were, on the bus?
So we have a foot pedal that will put us straight through to control. So we'll call control and get their advice. That they'll tell us what to do. So they'll call the guards if that's what's needed. We have our screen up, obviously.
Yeah.
But that's it. And then we have to wait for the guards to arrive. There have been instances where you will keep driving and the guards can meet you. But there's not enough guards. There's not enough resources there.
Yeah.
And usually what happens is the doors open up and the people get off.
And Barry, what about within Irish Transport? What's the training that you give to members of staff with regard to confronting somebody? I'm sure there's probably a point. There's kind of maybe low level stuff you maybe, you know, cop on, sit down, and then there's a point at which you don't confront.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, you know, are both in terms of training and their own knowledge experience as well. You know, it's about, I suppose, diffusing conflict where it's at all possible. And, you know, we have customer service officers, for example, on the intercity routes. But they're there. Their job is to assist, you know, the vast majority of customers who just want to enjoy their journey with customer service issues. But they obviously then have the ability to kind of raise the alert through the rapid response hubs with the Gardaí. So, you know, we're not there to, if you like, you know, drag people off. If it's a feeling that somebody is there who is posing a risk to either customers or staff on board, it is to get the assistance of either our security or the Gardaí through the various means that we have. We've also, similar to what Suzanne said, the CCTV that's on board.
Well, somebody here says, ask Barry if the CCTV always works, and if it doesn't, why isn't it working? I requested footage from the CCTV one time when I was attacked and I was told the system wasn't working.
Well, I mean, look, obviously we work to ensure that it is there, that the vast majority. You do also need to seek CCTV. We would hold that. We kind of roll over depending on the systems in 14 days or 28 days. But generally, people obviously will contact us in advance. The newer trains that we're getting, again, will have better, again, camera systems. The ones that are in test now, they've also got that open area right through the Dart, similar to the Lewis now, which I think gives that, I suppose, it avoids a situation where you might have a one carriage where something is happening, it's confined and I suppose somewhat hidden, and say with security features in mind right throughout that train.
All right. Well, I know there was another story that people had maybe been aware of in Drogheda, and somebody actually got in touch to say, I have a family member that works with Busair and it's a driver, and my family member was driving one of the buses in Drogheda where services for 3 hours were cancelled due to antisocial behaviour at the weekend. A guy kicked off, he was asked to get off the bus, he didn't, he tried to rob the cash from the driver ended up bending his finger backwards, he then continues to punch the bus and broke the wing mirror. So the reality there of working on that particular bus over the weekend, that question is about CCTV. I already put that to Barry. Somebody else says, everyone's talking about transport police for a decade. I wish the government would do something instead of setting up more task force and having discussions, but just get on with it. We'll get on with things. Thank you to Barry Kenny, Corporate Communications Manager with Irish Rail, Suzanne Armstrong, Dublin bus driver, and Andrew Quigley, SIP2 organiser.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.